Gentlemen, give your attention.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you couldn't hear, but you didn't want to admit you couldn't.
Very nice.
All right, go ahead, Dave.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, as always, a pleasure to be here for the 2018 budget presentation. Our budget plan includes a tax levy increase of just less than 3% from the levy appropriated to our department for the current year. The budget also includes a cost of adding 3 deputy sheriff's positions, which are afforded by the increase in law enforcement services contracts for both the village of Salem Lakes and Summers. Both municipalities have requested additional coverage for 2018. 3 added deputy sheriff's positions will allow us to assign more senior deputies to these 2 contracts to cover the additional hours. Operating revenue has increased by $778,000, primarily due to the increase in the minimum daily holds of the federal inmate population from 199 to 212, and the increase of law enforcement contracts with Summers and Salem Lakes. Our operating expenses for 2018, the majority of the $1.57 million increase is in personnel appropriation. Salaries increased by $551,000. Attributed to the cost of adding the 3 deputy sheriff FTEs. The increase in salaries is also due to funding for the entire year of 2 sergeant's positions that were added in mid-year 2017, and the refunding last year of 3 corrections officers. There are still 4 correctional guards FTEs that are still defunded for 18. The overtime budget has increased by $379,000. The increase in our overtime budget is primarily afforded with the increase in federal inmate housing revenue. With the guidance of from the Human Resources Department, mid-2017, we increased our casual correctional employees, or part-time correctional guards, from 6 to about 18 positions. We have added the classification of casual correctional employees since 2014. We have had that since 14, which has been filled by positions of retired correctional officers wishing to return to help reduce overtime, and now we've brought on college students as well. That program has been doing very well. In a 10-day period in September, they had absorbed 450 hours shortly after coming off what would be their probationary period, not the probationary period, but after they come out of school. We currently have 8 full-time correctional staff vacancies, and they assist in filling up those spots. We're proposing a $353,000 increase in contractual services appropriation. This increase is primarily attributed to the costs associated with inmate health care. About 1/3 of this increase will provide us with additional hours of coverage for managing the mental health care of our population. Our provider, KBNA, will be increasing mental health coverage from 110 to 135 hours per week. Supplies appropriation is increasing by $83,000. Half of this goes to the detention cert team, or the team that breaks in for and gets unruly inmates out. Ammunition is going out about $8,000 for non-lethal projectiles. Our proposed capital budget plan calls for an increase of $586,000 over 17. The increase is primarily attributed to the new project plan for both detention facilities requiring replacement of the programmatic logic controllers, things that open and close the doors in our jails that are have the one downtown is from the original building of 1982, and they no longer even make replacement parts for it. So what we plan on doing is splitting that $900,000 between 18 and 19. Motorized vehicle capital expense is increasing by $84,000. Let's see, this will involve upfitting 10 new patrol cars from 17 and a little bit more than that for 18. We hope to start deploying about 21 vehicles to our deputies on the road in 2018. Most of you heard me talk about that before. Let's see. Our capital bonding budget includes $122,000 to replace a steam kettle at the KCDC and purchase 2 washing machines for the laundry at the detention center. I think that's about it. One thing that we did do for Summers and Silver and Salem in their contracts for next year.
What? You said that was about it.
I said about it. I'm in the about part right now. One thing that we're doing for Salem and Summers is for their contracts, and I think all the villages were doing this, is we've eliminated, in the past, what we've done is we've eliminated a brand new deputy sheriff, a middle deputy sheriff, and a senior deputy sheriff. We've averaged their three salaries out, and that's what we've charged them. What we did this year, actually, is they never get a brand new deputy sheriff. A brand new deputy sheriff never goes in and patrols Paddock Lake or Silver Lake or Salem. It's always the middle to senior, and usually it's the senior because they like working the villages. So this better reflects actually the people that they're getting, and they're paying for it. They're getting what they pay for. So, okay, done. I'll answer questions up.
Dan.
Thank you. Sheriff, can you speak to...
Ian, can I hold 1 second? There are some errors, there's some replacement pages in the top half of page 47. Mr. Chair, is that somebody can hand up? Sorry, Dan, go ahead.
That's right.
On page 47, the top half, there's a fund there. It's really two funds. It's just drilled up incorrectly there. So I'm handing out a sheet that splits out that top half. It's really capital budgeting and then the equitable sharing. That replaces, it's the top half of page 47.
And what is it for, though? What is it for?
These numbers contain two funds. It's incorrectly drilled up. So this is what it should be, two separate funds. It's capital 411. The other
fund. Dan, is this what you want to talk about? Here, instead of lending stuff.
It was added together on this drill up.
Part of it, yeah. Is that what you're going to ask?
This is one of the pages that will be.
Is that what you're going to talk about?
Right. Federal aid numbers.
Yeah, how we got to figure that out, right?
Yeah, I do. Can you speak to, Dave, just give me some clarification on this county board has been trying to go down on federal inmate numbers, and now we're going back up on federal inmate numbers. For the last 2 years, we budgeted 199. I think in the year before it was 195, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a bad place to be going.
All right, I get it, but now we're at 212, so we're 13 above last year. And I asked Donna DeBree to send out everything to the county board supervisors, because I don't know about anybody else. We get these numbers, and I can't make heads or tails of them. But she made it a little more simplistic, which I appreciate. Can you tell me, or somebody can tell me, where are we at on average? Are we running like 230 a day? Yes. At average this year?
Yeah, it's something around that area.
So
yeah.
Is that 212 number, in my mind, are you giving me that 212 number because you're confident we can meet that or exceed it? Is that, I mean, I'm guessing it's a big concern of mine, because at 13, we fall short at 13 at $70 a day. That's 21 G's a month. That's $300-some thousand that if we don't make it, we need to find it. And I just...
Yeah,
I just want a little clarification.
This group here has heard me say this for years. This is a crapshoot every single year. Mm-hmm. And we have been over the 212. That I'd love to go down. I would love to take that number down. That was our goal a few years ago, and it's still our goal. But in order to meet our budget, this is...
overtime for
it. One thing that we used to do is our numbers, when it was lower, we'd have surplus. And that surplus, or unanticipated revenue, the proper terminology for it, that unanticipated revenue would go to cover our overtime. Well, and that's where we'd be able to kind of hold it all together when we come into the end and bring it together. We're getting into that trouble area of what we're doing is we're increasing our federal inmates, and we're going to have almost no surplus. And to offset that, this is a burden that we have. The only personnel, if you really look at our budget, we don't have a lot of extra stuff. Our three new deputy sheriffs are coming with contracts from
right.
The villages.
It's a wash.
Yeah. So our calls for service keep going up. Is Foxconn is coming in, as Uline keeps growing, as all these different things keep happening, the traffic is going up, our traffic accidents are going up, our calls for service are going up, the apartment complexes, if you've gone up Green Bay Road and out through Summers and you've seen the developments in the complexes and all that stuff, it's increasing all of our calls for service, and we're going to get worse and worse and worse. And you throw in flooding, you throw in ice storms, you throw in everything that we have. It's a rough cycle that we're climbing, And increasing it to 212, it doesn't excite me. I would love to see that number go down, and it's a numbers, it's
right,
a numbers.
Right, I can appreciate that. I mean, I can appreciate the explanation. But can you speak to, okay, our biggest issue has been overtime. I mean, that's, let's be honest. I think we're getting a better handle on that with these part-time correctional officers.
Copy.
My understanding is September was probably one of the best overtime months down. Am I correct on that, Nancy?
It's more towards this last payroll.
Right, right.
October, yeah.
Right, that's what I mean. It's, yeah. So this program may be taking hold, may be helping us. So potentially next year, we're not going to have, I've just seen the numbers over the last, what, 7-8 years? It's just astronomical.
In the last, right. That are almost
$1 million. Yeah. So, I mean, I applaud you for, you know, thinking long-term to try to solve this problem, because it's always been a problem. But I'm just really, really concerned about this number going up. And I get things are costing more, but it's, you know, we've often said we have to become codependent. But if you tell me, and I think that's what you're telling me, you're comfortable you can meet this number.
I think we meet that number. But the problem is, when you increase that number, that surplus number shrinks. So when that surplus that we use for overtime disappears, we run into an issue at the end of the year. So I think we'll meet the 212. I'm confident we'll meet that. Mm-hmm. But we'll have extra.
Right.
And it's still an issue with correctional officers. And throwing Foxconn into it and all the other billing that's going on, Uline is hiring up a storm. Amazon, I mean, I don't even know that they can hire enough people to keep what they have going. And I know that we've got part-time people now. We've tripled that number.
Do you anticipate that program to grow? I mean,
we're trying.
Right.
One of the...
To take off the pressure somewhat?
Yeah, one of the issues with that still is keeping that going, because what it takes, what we can do is... We got them through the four-week program at Gateway, 160 hours, and then they got a couple days off, I think, over Memorial Day. And then we brought them in for 8 weeks of training, FTO program. The problem is trying to figure out how to get more part-time people into that 160-hour class at Gateway. We have it scheduled for the end of January, I think, and they're going to do it part-time, I think. Was it good to do part-time? Yeah. They're going to do a part-time, which means they're going to do like maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday until they get that group. Then we still have to get them in here for 8 weeks of FTO somehow. We're still working on that. So it'll be a very good program, but we have to keep building it, and we're working on that.
That's all I have for now.
All right. I'd like Dave to inform the board what kind of profit we're talking about with these federal inmates. That's something to keep in mind in this discussion.
In 2016, we had a profit of $1.4 million on revenues of $6.5 million, which is about 25% profit. I mean, I wish I could buy stock in this company. I didn't get
money from. I will sell you some.
Yeah, sell me some. I'll buy it. I'll sell half my other stock. I mean, this would make more money, you know, to get this kind of a profit. You'd be making 50% in 2 years. So. It would, if I could put equity into it, and then I don't have, I get someone else's money, I don't have to put any of my own money into it. And I expect, Barna and Patty, you can confirm this, I expect that profit to grow this year. The numbers are up this year,
right.
Compared to last year.
I agree with you.
This is a very profitable program for the county. It brings federal money here. It's like running a small business with 100 employees, very well paid, very good benefits. And when you look at the effort we make to get a business like that, like this here, this is has turned out to be a very good program, and the sheriff has done a great job with it.
You reduce those numbers, where's the extra money going to come from? You're going to have to make some pretty substantial
right.
budget cuts. You can't reduce that number and then have the same budget.
No, not reduce our population. I don't think that's
no.
what you're asking.
No,
no, I agree.
I'm not.
No,
that's not what I'm asking.
No, that's not what he's asking.
That's not what I'm asking.
No, I agree. This is... we can't, I mean, it is a profitable thing. It pays for a lot of things for employees. It also pays for tax levy. So this is a very, very great program to have, and I don't think that's what you're saying.
No, it's not at all.
Yeah, I don't think that you don't have to defend the program. I don't think anybody on this board wants to just say let's eliminate that. That's not where we're going. But for the last probably 8 years, we've been talking about reducing the number, and you've been a cheerleader for that. I'm really very disappointed that the number has gone up this year, and I'm not sure I can support that. But I'm going to start at the top.
I can.
Well, of course you can. I might not be able to. So $500,000 increase in salaries. So you said that, and that was for deputies to bring on because we're going out into the municipalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
three of them.
Right, three of them. And that, I mean, that would be probably a substantial number in salaries. I mean,
and then last year, one sergeant started in May.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right, I got that. So, and then somebody had said that, you know, I'm on this revenue increase issue in my mind. So we've got a revenue increase of $778,000. So you said that you're, by that, you're going to get money from the municipalities to offset some of that.
Right.
Is that so? I mean, where is the $750,000 in revenue increase? Where, what is that number? What is that?
Going to break it down?
Yeah, where does it break down?
If you look at the revenues, you kind of look at what you're looking at.
Well, 700.
Starting on page 47.
Okay, yeah.
And then it'll go into page 48.
Correct. Yeah, and I mean, you have an increase in the inmates.
If you look at page 48, okay. Correct, there's an increase in the inmate revenue,
mm-hmm.
$5.8 million,
mm-hmm.
compared to $5.4 for the adopted 2017 column. You'll see three-quarters of the way down, you'll see law enforcement contracts for Paddock Lake, Silver Lake, Summers, and Bristol. If you compare the 2017 adopted to the far right column, you'll see Summers, and it says Silver Lake, but it's Salem Lakes. Those contracts, revenue is increased for 2018, and that helps pay for those three deputy sheriff positions that we're adding to the strength in order to provide the deputies for the extra coverage there.
Okay. Building improvements, you answered for me, and I thank you for spelling out what that acronym is so that I understand what that was. I appreciate that because I've got that highlighted as well. I want to talk about overtime a little bit. Okay. Supervisor Grady has been on this since I've been a child, and you know, it's, no, I'm just kidding, but we've been looking at this for a long time, and you said that the part-timers are bringing it down a little bit. Also, you had one where the supervisors were taking some shifts, correct?
That,
right, that's a part of it. I mean, I have a printout of the last 10 years of overtime, and I mean, the detention center has gone up over $500,000 in overtime in those 3 years. Patrol has only gone up about $75,000, which shocks me. But overall, we're at like $883,000 of increase in overtime in the last 10 years. I'm not okay with increasing it 13 inmates and then putting it onto the overtime. Okay. I think we have to continue to work on ways to look at the overtime, and I'm not accusing anybody of not doing that, you know, and I'm actually echoing what you've said about trying to bring that number down, and not that I ever want to eliminate it or I think the program's bad or anything like that. I certainly, that's farthest from my mind, but I also wanted to wean us down on our reliance on it, and I wanted to do 192 last year, and it ended up at 199. Now we're 212. I don't know that I can support that. So we're going to have to look at more overtime, you know, remedies. Is there anything you anything else you have on the stove that you're working on for overtime?
We're trying to grow this part-time thing. And I kind of touched on it. What I'd like to do is see it grow into, if you guys were interested, to go to Gateway, put yourself through a part-time 160-hour class. And if you do that, if you get yourself through it before you come to me, we don't have to pay for it. We don't have to pay for salaries. We have to pay for it. But even if we paid for their schooling, it's about 700. It's about $800. It's not a big deal. But then we have to get them through 8 weeks of training. And that's kind of the bigger deal, trying to figure out how to get, especially on a part-time job, how do you get them through 8 weeks of training and get them out onto the floor? We're finding this is working. We're finding that the full-time officers, from what I'm being told, are accepting the fact that first they were afraid that we were going to get rid of all the full-time employees and make everybody part-time and cut benefits and all that. But we don't have the people to do that. Why would we do that? So now they're finally, I think they're understanding that this is trying to help them and reduce the overtime. I was told actually a couple weeks ago, somebody said that there isn't enough of good overtime anymore since these people started. So, which I can't wait to see those numbers of when we actually get to that point, there's not enough good overtime. But our big thing is, I think we have to keep the part-time thing growing. And the struggle is, if you shorten their training process, you're just throwing us out to the wolves and putting them in there and not understanding it.
What's the problem with the 8 weeks? They're not getting paid during it, or what?
No, they're getting paid.
Oh, okay. So
it's scheduling them. If they're college students, they're in school. If they're working like we're all working, and I said I could do three shifts a week part time and make $20 an hour. We have to get them that 8 weeks in, and if they do it on a part-time, if they do it a full-time thing, they're working their full-time job probably, and they're working part-time on top of it, or full-time on top of it, so it's too much. So we have to figure out how to manage the hours so we're not killing people while they're being trained. And also while we're training them, we still have open shifts too. So it's still a battle, but I think this is our future, and we're just trying to figure out how to make it grow. We had a big meeting with personnel 2 weeks ago, trying to again figure out how to make this grow and keep it going.
Yeah, I'd like to see that you have somebody set up to create this as a program, and I don't even mind throwing money at it, because when you look at what you're paying in overtime, any amount that we pay up front is going to be a savings. So, after everybody's done talking, I'm going to make a motion to reduce it down to $199 and take that money out of overtime, and you can all defeat it if you want, but that's the way my conscience says to go. And I just think we have to continue to work on ideas to help us with the overtime.
I'm good with that.
You know, and I appreciate all your working with us and you being candid and Nancy helping us with numbers and all the effort you guys put in.
I got it.
But I mean, the numbers I'm seeing in overtime to me is just staggering. And I mean, we have to figure something else out. And I know we've been trying, but you know, I just think that's where we need to go. So that'll be one thing that I'm doing. So
I understand.
I'll listen to more questions
or anything later.
No, David, we're talking about that $6.5 million that the revenue from 2016, and you made $1.5 million on it. What happened to that $1.5 million?
We used it to balance. Did
it go for overtime or something, or?
No. Well, I'm
being facetious. Okay. My point is that you want to reduce this? I'm not for that. Obviously, he's been getting the revenue at. What was your average inmate? You got an average for the year?
They sent it all to us.
This year?
Yeah.
It's around 230.
230, okay. And it's been running like that for, it must have been 2016, it must have been 240. Running to, yeah, it was in 240. Okay, so in 2017, you budgeted $5.4 million, and it looks to me like you're going to bring in $6.3 million or something. Am I wrong? Am I reading that wrong? In your 2018, you're projecting $5,846,000, right?
I'm sure you're right.
Okay. So why would we want to cut that? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think we're cutting it, no.
Yeah, but why would we want to cut the increase then? Why would we want to do that? Doesn't make any sense. You're making a profit. Look, you're making a profit on it. He's delivering the prisoners. He's getting them. We're not paying that much out of overtime. Why would we want to cut it?
Maybe Dave can explain what kind of impact would this have if you reduced it to, let's say, 199.
Well, the what we have in the budget is what we're forecasting. So,
40.
If we cut the revenue and cut the spending, yet the sheriff continues to drive it towards the 230 or 240 number, we're going to end up getting more revenue, but we'll be short on the spending side, so we'll just have to come back and get that authorization to spend anyway. And then that would be authorization to get a little more profit to help us with our general fund and our levy.
And if you did that during the year, for example, sheriff comes in and requests X for Y, that's going to require a budget amendment, which is require two-thirds vote. You can't amend this without a two-thirds vote. Right now, it's a majority vote. So really, Sheriff, all you're doing is making life more difficult for yourself by reducing it to 199, because thereafter, you're going to require a two-thirds vote to pass it to amend the budget. Right now, you get a majority vote to pass the budget.
Point of information.
So I'm not sure from your perspective.
That doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense.
You?
I didn't propose that.
No, I, okay.
That makes absolutely no sense.
I proposed 212.
Perhaps I was wrong. I thought I heard you supporting the idea of reducing the number.
No.
And I can't understand why you or supporters of the budget would want to reduce the number, because now you're making it more difficult to amend that budget midterm. And the criticism will be, why didn't you plan ahead?
How about 220?
Right? Mr. Chairman, I have a point of order.
Well,
point of information.
What is your point of
information? My point of information is I spoke with Nancy today, and that doesn't come back to the general levy. I mean, to the rest of the county budget. It stays in the sheriff's department, and they spread it out over overtime and all the other things in the sheriff's department. So, I mean, which in a roundabout way comes back to the county, but... That's what I was told.
That is incorrect. Dave, you can explain that, but that is incorrect.
And I mean, Nancy and I can both chime in. I can see where Nancy said that. That's still accurate. We put it in a separate fund. On our financial statements, we account for it in a separate fund.
What separate fund?
It's a special revenue fund. It's on, what is it, 103 or 104 in the audit book. We do account for it separately. However, if we didn't have that program, the levy would be higher. Our levy would be higher. So this does help us balance our budget. And so even in a year where we don't hit the revenue, there's still a profit. It's just that the profit wasn't as much as we expected. But we say there's a deficit, but really, I've never seen a year where we didn't have a profit in this program. It's just the profit wasn't as much, therefore there wasn't enough there to reduce the levy.
Okay, here's my question,
Nancy.
Can I just say that's kind of we were both saying the same thing, right?
And yeah. In my mind, we use it to balance our budget,
right?
The surplus, while you hold it in a reported in a separate fund.
Show the
surplus as far as what costs are associated with. See, earning that revenue is what's shown in that fund.
Why can't that be held in the sheriff's budget?
It is in the sheriff's budget.
But this doesn't come till year end. If he had the reserve, and I like Brookside, I know it's not a revenue. I mean, you're talking about $9 million of revenue, but I know it's not. It's different because it goes to the general fund. But Brookside's perfect. When they go to that reserve of $1.2 million to use to offset their loss, it's perfect. Perfect. And I know because they're a revenue producing entity, but that fits so nicely that they don't have to go to the levy to take care of that because they built up the reserve. If the sheriff is building up $1.4 million reserve off the federal inmates, he doesn't get it. It goes to the general fund.
Right.
No, he gets it.
How's he getting it?
It goes to other things like overtime, and it stays in the sheriff's budget. That's the way it was explained.
But that's, is that the way to run that? Is that are you okay with doing it that way? Where you have to, if you have 1.4 for your federal inmates, that you could just leave and have your rest of your budget, and at time of levy, you wouldn't have, you'd have 1.4 to play with. So that you could come back to us and say, you know what, I can lower your levy by 1.4 million if you had to.
I like playing with money, but I don't know that, I don't know that. I think the way we do it, it's fine. Because what we do is we just come back, we bring it to the finance. The finance, we do this every year. We do it every year. We come back and say we're short in overtime money.
How do you think we build up our general fund? Reserves at every budget in this thing. Doesn't get spent. Every dollar doesn't get spent. And where does it go? Back to the general fund.
The general.
So yeah. How do you think the general, of course.
I'm talking about an
ex. He makes more revenue. He puts back more revenue than he shows every year.
Did you finish?
It's got to.
The point I'm making is if you put it back to Brookside, that makes so much sense to me how you account for that. It's just perfect. I don't know why we couldn't. The sheriff is such a giant budget for us. 40 some million dollars in levy. Why that thing is so sensitive to every penny he makes and or doesn't make, and every expense, every overtime expense that he cannot judge. He guesses. He's taking his best estimates, and this thing is so flexible. Why can't we help with that flexibility by setting up a little bit of a contingency for him so that the levy doesn't get nailed? We're well over 17%. We're $18 million over 17% in the general fund. How about a couple million dollars? Whatever. $1.5 million of some help. That's all.
Okay.
That is a really good idea. And we have discussed this in the past, so I just this isn't, do you remember discussing this in the last budget? And we've discussed it maybe 3 or 4 times. But so I've looked at AAA counties and I've looked at how they react with when their surpluses get to certain points. And there's many things they do. This program is similar to Brookside. It's funded by federal money. One thing we could do once our reserves get to where they need to be is, we talked about we could use it for CABA. We could use it to pay off some OPEB, our health insurance.
We could use it to borrow less, too.
We could use it to pay it as you go instead of borrowing. There's many things we could use reserves for. We could create a fund. We could take this fund we have and put a cushion in there similar to what we have in our health insurance. We're not quite there yet. We just got through, we're still worked through the Great Recession. We've got bond rating increases. But so keep that in mind. That is, I would say it's one of the top 5 or 7 things to look at when we get to the point where we do have enough reserve where we can deploy some of that and not have it impact our bond rating. And so this way, we would still be keeping the money in the bank if we were to do this. So if we were to use it for capital, then the money leaves our bank. So there's, but we're not quite there yet. We need to get a few more years of stability with our reserves. We just got our bond rating increases. We just got our reserves to where they need to be. So, but I would say it is something worth looking at over the next couple of years if our reserves continue to grow.
And
I think Supervisor Burke had a question.
I had a question, sir. Have you guys ever looked at recruiting from the DLC? Would that help reduce the training?
Could you stand and speak? The rest of us can't hear.
Have you looked at recruiting from the DLC? And would that decrease the hours of training?
No. We actually do get a lot of our employees come from the Department of Corrections. And it doesn't, because their training is two completely different things.
what they're looking at doing for Gateway is doing the 160 hours and I think adding, did they say they're going to add the DOC part?
They're adding juvenile detention.
Oh, juvenile detention. But it's two different training state requirements. And then they'd still have to go through how we do stuff here. So it'd still be the 8 weeks. So even though they would probably be better employees, probably, still, the training part is still required. And we hired a deputy from them, I think, in the last month. So we do.
Bill Grady.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the sake of clarity here, I've heard the two numbers, 213 per day versus 196. There has been, from what I've heard here this evening, a desire to move it from the 213 day census down to 196. Is that correct? That would be.
I thought he said 212
to 199.
Regardless.
You're close.
Mm-hmm. Regardless, the idea to move the prisoner census down, what is the motivation for that?
I'm not proposing that.
I thought I could write at this table that there was preference to have left prisoner census.
I think that was the statement of Supervisor, yes.
I'm not alone in this. Most people sitting at this table over the last 8 years have said that as well. So
well, let me just ask this passed. Question either through to Sheriff Beth or to Nancy Otis. In terms of having an ideal number, does it indeed get to a point where you have a higher prisoner census, that you're expending more overtime and therefore it's more costly? Is that part of the equation or is it not?
We are at approximately our capacity for federal inmates. We actually do not have some dorms open. And the reason we don't have dorms open is because we don't have full-time employees to work them. If we were to open them, we'd have to fill them with overtime, and it would increase our problem. So if we reduced it back to 199 or 192, which you'd basically reducing is our tax levy, and then as we move through the year, our overtime would be used up by probably April or May, and then we would come back to the county board and ask to use our surplus revenue that we would have, and we'd ask to put that toward our overtime. If we rolled the 212 into our budget, it's already in there, and we'd probably run out of overtime by about September, and then we'd use our surplus in September and ask to use it. So you're basically just delaying when we would come back and have to ask to use our surplus.
So if I understand it correctly, it's not a physical shortcoming of capacity in the corrections. It's basically an overtime issue that it becomes more costly as your number census gets beyond 192, 196. That's the situation.
If you incorporate our federal population and our general population, we haven't figured out where if our general population goes up, our federal population would have to come down because we don't have the personnel to open up more dorms. Follow that?
Is there a reimbursement between general population and federal population in dollars per day?
Well, we'd be losing $70 a person for feds. Right.
What is the average for the general prison population per day?
Zero.
They're there.
They're just on our dime.
They're local. They're what we would call local people.
Okay. Are we obliged to take federal prisoners?
No.
So we could at some point say we've had our quota of federal prisoners, that's all we can take. We could do that as a county.
Oh, we've done that. That's where we are right now.
All right, so I think that clears it up. Last question. Take a look at page 38 in your budget book. We are looking at the addition of one administration specialist going from 21 FTEs from 2017 to 2018. Can we just today bring some light to that, please? Page 38 in the budget book, FTEs.
What position?
Administration / release specialist.
Went from 21 to 22.
Correct.
But we also reduced, I believe, further down, it might be
administration assistant.
Administrative assistant. We changed the job classification for a particular work zone to be an admission release clerk. That way, that person could work overtime in the booking area, where the other was a clerical position that didn't have any training.
So, reclassification basically from
we just moved one position.
Then the other interesting one is just, sorry. sergeant, we're going up a sergeant from 13 to now to 14, is that correct?
Yes, in 2017, current year, 2017, the county board approved a budget where we added two sergeant positions to the sheriff's strength. They were staggered to start in May and then August as far as their budgeting for their personnel costs, so it was a little less than one FTE. Come January 2018, they are now fully funded as a whole FTE, so that's the number from 12 basically to 14.
Okay, so that accounts for that. And then the other three FTEs, that is now due to, I think Sheriff Bess said earlier, the additional
deputies.
On the count.
Yep.
Correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Further discussion?
Who will adopt the budget?
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Jeff.
So, since nobody recalls why we had this discussion in the past.
I recall.
We really?
No, go ahead.
Thank you. because there, I remember a couple of years back where there was a point where we might not get ICE prisoners, right?
Reducing our numbers.
Yeah, they were reducing our numbers. But yet we have a budget that was higher than what we thought they might come in. So it was always our intent to reduce our reliability or our you know. Dependence on that to set a budget.
Right.
So, I mean, we, in all the years past, and you've even been sitting here for all these years that I've been sitting here, and that was the goal, was to try to reduce our dependency, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to see that completely disappear.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't, but.
Not the program disappear, but the dependency.
Right. Right, because if all of a sudden they say, we're going to be sending these people to Chicago
right.
and not here because you don't have a hotel for them or something, you know, which happened in the past, you don't have the proper facilities, all of a sudden we're down prisoners, but we have this budget of expectancy of getting right. 212.
Right.
You know, so that's, to refresh everybody's memory, that's why we had this discussion in the past.
Right.
So, I mean... And I don't recall, now correct me if I'm wrong, every year do you come to us and say, all right, now we're averaging 232 inmates, there's an excess in income, we want to spread it over the sheriff's department and other areas, can we use that revenue? Do you come to us and ask us for that?
Yes,
yes, we do.
Prepare a document, budget okay. policy resolution, okay. I believe, explains that.
And okay. And I'm sure you've done that every year because every year you've had so
we need the surplus to right. shore up expenditures. Yes.
So if that happens, it doesn't really matter whether we say 199, 182, 212, any number. You're going to still have an excess in revenue because you're dealing with 230.
Right.
You know. So I mean, I just want to reduce our dependency on that number and say let's try to figure out how to set a budget or bring one in line without it. That's my point and my reasoning for doing that.
All right. Is there any further discussion, Ron?
Have you turned any prisoners away from the feds at all?
Yes.
You shut it off at a certain level, huh?
Yeah, because we can't.
Okay.
We'd have to open another
door. You have to open their door.
Okay, okay. No. So you get that 220 that you've been running, and then you say, that's it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many more prisoners do you need to open another dorm?
Well, the dorms hold about 64, so if you opened it with three,
it wouldn't work.
Wouldn't work.
So you have about 60.
Without the staff, you'd have more overtime to cover.
Yeah.
Time and a half.
Yes.
Do you see the climate? You know, we've talked about this for years. Do you foresee, and you can't predict the future, but do you foresee this climate of these federal inmates and vice numbers being up there? Is, you know, you guys have a pulse on this. Do you know what I mean?
I don't see the local population or the ICE dropping, not as long as our current president is there.
So there are some factors that were higher than normal than what.
And
we
even when Obama was there, the numbers were actually increasing prior to him being taken out of office. So it was going up. I know that the federal government has been asking for, I haven't heard about it lately, but they, I know in this earlier part of this year, they were looking for other agencies to hold more immigration people, because people like us, we were at capacity.
They never offer you any more money or data, do they?
Are you talking about?
I'm sorry.
Are you talking about opening another door?
No. We don't have the full-time employees to do it.
Okay, any further discussion? Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to reduce the number down to 199 and decrease the number in overtime.
All right,
for the difference in the income.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, further discussion? All right, let's come to a vote. Bill?
Just a point. I mean, I think if I understand this from the way it's been presented this evening, the county kind of walks a tightrope. Ideally, you'd like to have as many federal prisoners as you could because they add to your bottom line. But if you're funding, if you're taking care of those prisoners with overtime hours instead of regular full-time employees, which work at a lesser rate, that's where it gets to a tipping point. You no longer become profitable. You're actually losing money because you have more Not prisoners really. Than you can handle without overtime. So if I understand the proposition the Supervisor Gentz is making, that's the rationale.
Okay, further discussion? Yes.
Yeah, just for a point of clarification, Dave, can you correct me if I'm wrong? And I kind of agree with Jeff on this. I don't really want to be dependent on higher numbers. But this just seems like it's semantics to me. I mean, it's all semantics, because whether we come at 212, you're telling me, this is what I'm gathering from what you said, whether we say, okay, we're going to go 199 and we average 230, there's a surplus. Whether we average, say, we're going to go 212 and we do 230, there's a surplus. At the end of the day, there's a surplus. And so that surplus gets added to the general fund, gets its own prioritized budget item. And this is a money maker. We all understand that. But you're telling me, and this is what I need to get some clarification on, that if I say, okay, I'm going to go to 199, are you telling me that this potentially can impact our budget or our forecasting? Or, I mean, do you follow me? I mean, that's a big deal to me.
Because
it's just a number.
If the county board,
it is.
County board did not authorize spending to take the extra in. So if you cut it, if you actually cut it to the 199 now and then cut the spending proportionately, and then in April we have an election, and then we bring a resolution to you to amend the budget, and you don't amend the budget, then we're not authorized to continue at that level, and we would have to cut our spending and we would lose the profit. But really, I think the whole concept here of what's been discussed over this kind of grew out of the Great Recession and the last federal administration. The dynamics have changed for now, but the things we talked about after the Great Recession were not to just reduce the revenue and the spending, it was to reduce the revenue and fill it in with some other revenue so that we reduced our dependency. Just cutting the spending and the revenue really doesn't meet the goal that we talked about, you know, over the last several years. It's just reducing spending and then reducing revenue and a like amount of spending, but not really meeting this goal of, because the numbers are going to be, with this current administration, will probably continue to be at this level, and we'll
right,
have to spend at that
roughly.
Level.
Right,
230
roughly. And the reason why, I mean, I know this better than any chairing that committee for 4 years, those numbers were going down. We were in the 180s. You know, that's where we got scared and said, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah.
that we were in 175 on average, you know, over a period of time.
I think a smarter way would be as we grow, as our financial health gets, as we get the highest best practice of stability and sustainability for our county, if this program continues, and it looks like it will continue, and it looks like it will continue to be profitable, and it will continue to be a good employer for you know, people in the county with good wages and good benefits to, you know, once we get to that point, set the fund up the way Supervisor Retzlaff's
and
put a, build a cushion there so that we have some time to work through if we do have a decline. But we're not quite there yet. I mean, it's probably a couple of years before we can get to that. But I think just to cut the revenue and cut the spending really doesn't accomplish anything.
And so if we, I mean, I can appreciate where Supervisor Gentz is going with this. I really can. So basically, explain to me, and so everybody understands too. Let's say we budget 212 and we come in at 190, or we come in at 199 and we're down 13 people. Are we going to backfill that money with general fund money? What are we going to do with that? Because we're going to be short.
It's just like any program.
And so I think that's a valid question. Where's the money going to come from?
It's just like any program.
I mean, not the Sheriff's Department because they don't have
the budget.
It's like any program where we've had a surplus or a deficit. So, you know, sales tax, we've had surpluses and deficits. Juvenile placements, we've had surpluses and deficits. Health insurance, last year we had over a $4 million deficit.
Right.
But most years, it's in the black. So we're looking at 1 year now, but we have to run it so that most of the time, over time, these things average out in the black. And they have been. And we've had, you know, overall, we've had good financial health. For example, even last year with the $4 million deficit in health insurance, we still had surpluses in all, many of our other areas. And right now, the forecast is we'll close with $1 million surplus. Even with the,
thank you.
And we're not having $4 million this year. We're having about $500,000.
Can I?
2015 was the year we had.
Right. That's all I
have. Can we? Off the top of your head, Nancy, what would the levy or what would that number of 5.8 million go down to if we went to 199? Can you do that
was
off the top
it around
of your head?
70,000? Is that what it was? Or
is that?
Would it go down to
300,000? It must be more
was
than
it?
That.
Oh, okay.
It's 25,500
times 13.
No.
332?
Yeah, 332,000.
Yeah, that's
332,000 would come down off the levy. Well,
it wouldn't be off the levy.
No.
It'd just be out of their overtime.
So you realize that if you pass that.
Well, no, but the number would come down off the revenue and expenses of 332, which
and levy stays the same.
Right. So you're
well as a percent. Yeah.
So you're cutting the but. I'm just pointing this out. If you're cutting then the levy, which you would do. And then they need more money. He's coming back and asking for a budget amendment for the 2% vote.
Where are you going to get
that
it from?
What you want to do? I don't understand why you would
with,
want to
with,
do that.
In my opinion,
if you're for the spending in the first place, why are you making it more difficult in the end?
Because you're talking about a budget item that we're setting that we want to, you know, it's a budget item. We've got an $8.7 million surplus over our general fund. Okay, we're taking the highest number we can possibly take, and it's costing, you know, $332,000 extra dollars. I'm just saying what, and Dan's point is if it's up, we're getting the revenue anyways. You know, if it goes down, let's take it out of the general fund.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Why can't we play with it?
I mean,
okay,
but I don't think that'd do good for your bond rating. And what if you're now a supervisor who argues, well, why didn't they budget correctly in the first place? In cutting 300,000 plus during the budget hearings, why didn't you do it right in the first place? And now you're coming in at the end. I'm not going to support that at the end. That's just poor finance. You're overspending. That would be the argument. And you're not going to get your two-thirds vote. I don't understand why you're making this more difficult for them unless you really intend to cut $300,000+. If you really want to cut $300,000+, fine, that's a policy issue. But if you really don't want to cut $300,000 and deal with it at the end, you're just making it more difficult because you're talking about a two-thirds vote, not a majority vote. And I don't know that you'll get two-thirds because there'll be some supervisors who will persuasively argue that they're just overspending. Should have thought of this up front. Too bad.
I don't agree, but
all right.
Okay.
Anything further, Ron?
Just one thing. He's projecting 2017 was budgeted $5.5 million, and he's projecting $6.3 million. That's all. I mean, doesn't it answer itself? Why would you cut it?
You're not.
All right. Well, are we ready to vote?
Nope. I want to talk some more.
Right. Go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, I want to make the point that I totally disagree with what you're saying about cutting. You're not cutting anything. It, like Supervisor Esposito said, it's going to be in the budget anyway. Okay, all I'm saying is I'd like to see the number come down to reduce our dependency. Thank you, Supervisor, for the word. Reduce our dependency on that number. Nothing's going to change. In every year past, they've come to us and said, well, we're going to have this overtime thing, and we want to use this extra money. And you're telling me that you think that it's going to be 240 or 230 every year. Okay, that's fine. Then there's no difference. Okay? There's no difference. You're still going to have the surplus, and they've always come to us and asked us for that. But we're what I'm saying by this is let's look at other ways to try to help our overtime and work to you know, buffer up the budget in certain other areas. They're going to come to us in June, July, August, September, and say, look, we need this for overtime. Can we take it out? I mean, I'd rather say yes at that point than have them come in with 198, 188, and do the reverse. Now, you're right. With Trump in there and other things, it's probably not going to go down right now. I just want to reduce our dependency on that number. That's why I'm doing it. So to create this scenario that we're not cutting anything. I mean, it's still going to be 230 inmates at whatever yes. per inmate, 25.
70.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still going to be, the money's going to be there. They come to us every year anyway to get that overtime, so that's fine. I mean, all I want to do is reduce the number so that we're not so dependent on it. I mean, next year I'd like to go down even more, but that's the rationale. So, I mean, to make this whole quagmire of, you know, we're cutting something, we're not.
Just to repeat, if you cut it revenue by $332,750, you have to cut spending.
Yes, otherwise you cut the overtime.
It's coming out of overtime.
But he has actual overtime to pay for, and you know that up front. And therefore, you're only making it more difficult at the end to fund that because he has to come back with a resolution to amend the budget.
So which get us
then why don't we do it at 232?
Right?
All right. Is there anything further?
Yeah. Here, Terry, what I said, I think I'm going to stand firm on. It's all semantics. Whether you say it's 199 and you're coming in at 230, we're 31 above what we budgeted. Whether you say it's 212 and coming at 230, you're 18 above. It's still surplus revenue. I mean, that's where I don't understand the argument of cutting. I understand the position of non dependency. So you're still going to have that. I don't think either way you're still going to have the money there. Do you follow me? That's what doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think you're cutting anything. It's just a number. This is a number that up until this year we've tried to be really, really stringent on, and I just don't like it going the other way. That's because I don't see the benefit. I mean, I understand the bond rating aspect. I get all that, but if you're telling me that if we budget for 199, we come in at 250, let's just throw that number. You're still going to be at the same if you're at 212, or what's the difference? I mean, you know what I mean? That's where my vote's going to come at, because right now I'm not going to support 212.
All right, Dave.
I'm recommending I'm recommending staying at the 212. I think we can get through the year. We may have to bring a closeout amendment at the end of the year, but I think the sheriff will have the ability to get through the budget at the 212 level. But if we cut the overtime by 300,000, we might find ourselves exceeding the budget before we can get to year end, before we cut the checks and spend them on a cash basis. So I would prefer to stay at the 212.
8.7 million over. Remember, 8.7 over. Sit in the reserve.
All right, well, perhaps we're ready to vote here. I think the arguments have been fully explored. If there's something new,
Bill. I still have a further question. This is purely financial. This is not from the dependency standpoint. Right now, if you consider the present census to be 230, 236, what's the number?
230.
Okay. And if you were to go down to your ideal number of, say, quote, 199, you will have that amount of decrease in revenue from the feds, correct?
No.
No. You'll have the same revenue.
The same revenue.
But in order to balance the budget, you must reduce expenditures. That's the point. And if you reduce the expenditures in conformity with the revenues, you're coming in at the end of the year to fill that gap. Why do you want to do that?
Let me rephrase that. If we have a decrease of 20-some persons per month, that is $70 per person we don't get each day, correct? So you have decreased right. revenue. Right?
Well, no, well, if they actually have 230.
The only time it hurts is if we don't meet the number. If we don't meet the 199, we're going to get hurt budget-wise.
Correct.
If we're way above it, it doesn't matter one way. Like I said, it's semantics. Whether it's 212 or 199,
yes.
it doesn't matter. You still got, so you're 31 over or you're 18 over. It doesn't really matter.
My point was, if you decrease the prisoner census and you're paying a premium for overtime to monitor these people, you got a more manageable number, don't you actually save county funds
no.
because you have less people on overtime? That's
no.
not true.
No, that's not true. Right. And we brought reports to that. I mean, Caddy made a report a year or two ago on this exact issue. It's marginal whether you're spending the overtime or the regular pay. It's really, this program makes money, and the audit showed that it made a 25% profit on the revenue.
That's my question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ready to vote?
Yes.
All right, we'll take a roll call. Yes means you're for reducing it to 199. Jeff?
Yes. Yes.
No.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No. It loses 4-3.
Any further discussion? Approve the budget.
There is that motion on the floor already. It was made by
Frederick and Kubicki.
Who was it?
Frederick and Kubicki.
All right, there is a motion. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that concludes this evening's agenda. Unless there's something to be discussed with respect to that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So,
second.
All right. Are we adjourned or are we just? Are we just?
5 minute break.
No.
Are we adjourned or just? Are we
continuing?
Right, those were left.
We're just picking it up.
I forget where the extra ordinance violation.